You're listening to Punisher Waterfowls, the Union 0430 podcast. Brought to you by Real Geese Decoys, the most technologically advanced silhouette decoy on the market. First Light, the best hunting gear on the planet. Go farther, stay longer. And Ducklander Calls, tradition, education, and quality, built to hunt.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Union 0430. This is episode 156. And like I always say, this is a special one, but even more so, it's a special one because we've got a veteran on that's doing that this today on this show. We've got a veteran on who's really trying to do some good for the veteran community out there. So we brought Ash on and we're going to talk about what he's doing out in Manitoba. But look who's on with me. It's not an optical illusion, everybody. Dave and I are sharing the podcast together. This never happens anymore. Dave comes on when I'm not available. And because Dave is the busiest man I've ever met in my life. And so we've got a treat. We've got Dave on tonight. The constant,
all my surgeries are done.
Yeah.
I'm about, done.
About fucking
don't ride
time.
Motorcycles. Fuck that.
Dave is here, man.
Dave is here. Yeah. When you had that motorcycle accident, that's when Trish looked at me and said, see, Dave knows what he's doing and he had an accident. So there is no hope for you to ever get a motorcycle. Balls. Balls. And of course, we
tricked her. Fucking tricked her. I don't know what I'm doing. Fake it till I make it, bud.
That's right. And we've got the constant. Philly is on with us. And we've got Ash Barr coming to us all the way from out in Manitoba. So a great show. But before we get into it, I got to ask, because this is something I haven't been doing. And maybe Dave, you've been doing it and Phil, but I haven't been doing it. And listen, everybody, as you're listening, if you could just hit the pause button and subscribe, like, follow, all that stuff. We're looking to get those analytics up and we need your help in order to do it. So please spread the word about us. It's happening. You guys are doing a great job and I can't thank yous enough for everything you're doing, but just need a little bit more help if you don't mind.
Invite your friends.
Yeah. Ring the bell.
It is free.
Yeah, absolutely. It is free. So Ash, buddy, thanks for coming on. I know we were doing a little bit of back and forth trying to get some time on and figure out a schedule where we can all meet up and actually do this. But I'm pretty intrigued to find out a lot about this, what you're trying to do. And I wish you were closer, really. But I'll open the floor to you, let you go out on your spiel, let you do your thing. Yeah. And then if we've got any questions, we'll ask in and let you fill in the blanks. So the floor is yours, my man.
Perfect. Well, coming up mid-September, 15th, 16th, 17th of this year, we're hosting the first annual Weekend for Warriors. So what that's entailing, it's geared with the Netley Lebo Marsh Foundation. So with that, we're bringing out it's 7 veterans this year for a weekend up in around the Netley Marsh, which is, for those who don't know, kind of on the south end of Lake Winnipeg. So we're hosting it out of a place there. Like you say, 7 guys are coming out. We're going to come out on the Friday night, eat pizza, drink beer, sit by the fire, just, you know, a hunting camp kind of stuff.
Yep.
Saturday morning, no matter what the wind or weather is going to do, we're going to go out and try and get a good field shoot in, then come back, have lunch, and then head out into Netley Marsh. As they're one, you know, they're the guys who are really bringing it this forward.
Yeah.
And try and get some ducks in the evening, come back, big fish fry, sit by the fire again, probably have too many beers, stay up too late, and then wake up early again the next morning and go do another field shoot for geese. Mm-hmm. So, and being the first year, we don't know what's going on. Like, things can change and, absolutely, you know, it's a living document, right? As you know, Damien, you know, just like the military.
So no plan survives first contact, buddy.
Exactly. But then, you know, next year we may do, you know, instead of doing 2 goose shoots, we'll do a duck, a goose, and then go fishing. get the guys out fishing on the river for some of the best catfishing in North America's right at my back door here.
Oh, really?
And and or walleye in the, you know, in that September time frame, we catch those too. So just to switch it up a little bit.
Okay. So this is open, and I'm guessing it's open to any veteran that really wanted to apply for it, but really it's going to come from anybody that's within that Winnipeg area, right?
Yeah, they've got to kind of foot their own way to get here.
Right.
And then once they're here, you don't have to have your hunter safety. If they don't have a shotgun, that's fine. We get, you know, waterfowlers, we have more than enough. They don't have to bring shells, nothing. They got a kit list of stuff they need to bring. You know, we got Prairie Shot, who makes score shells.
Yeah, they're donating.
They're donating two flats to us this year.
Oh, wow. That's shells, amazing.
So it's more than we expected.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to be doing that. Everyone's licensed guides, we're taking the guys out. Like, it's going to be done and done well. So we hope.
No, that's awesome. And I wanted to add this little bit just in case anybody that's wondering. So anybody that's wondering and they're saying to themselves, well, why do the boys have ash on? This is something that's happening in Winnipeg. They're only taking seven dudes, that whole thing. Why is it coming on the show? And the reason why I approached Ash about coming on the show was in hope that if there's any of the businesses out there that are listening that you know, can provide a donation or help out with making this a better event for the veterans, all you got to do is reach out to me and I can get you in touch with Ash, and then you guys can square away the donations and all that stuff. So that's the big reason why you're on the show tonight, because Phil's I'm ex-military, Phil's a cop, Dave's a firefighter. You know, from us, we really appreciate it when we hear about these initiatives where people are actually taking time to organize something for first responders and that whole bit, right? So we've got to say thank you, and I know the boys will get into it and they'll talk to you a bit. But we are really thankful that you're doing this for the fellas that, you know, can't get out to hunt or probably have never been introduced to waterfowl hunting. And now here's a chance for them. And if they've never been introduced, I'll leave it at that, because goodbye to your bank account if you get hooked to this. So really the reason I wanted you to come on is I'm hoping that we could drum up some support for you, and maybe some of the businesses that follow us and support us, they can reach out to you and do the same kind of support. So go for it, buddy.
Some of the stuff, like, we're looking for, you know, donations for the guys. We don't want anything out of this. It's just, you know, we put it together, big bags for the guys, and they all draw a number, and the bags are numbered, and that's what you get.
Okay.
You know, we've got some local companies here. Ladies donated some jams that she makes. Of course, it's got booze in it, because why not?
Makes sense.
Maybe. And then we got a local honey guy. My wife makes handmade soap. She donates, and actually some of the stuff, it would have went over to a company in 06 when you were over.
Okay.
Some of the shampoo bars, my mom, when she was alive, sent a bunch over there.
Oh, no, those dirty Patricias kept all that shit to themselves. They didn't share none of that to us.
For the working guys.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Here we go. But yeah, Dave, Philly, buddy, boys, if you want to jump in. I'll take a break here.
No, I was hoping you guys would talk more about which one's better.
Oh, we don't have that much time.
No. Okay. We don't have that much time. But
it's almost like me and Dave chirping each other.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's like cops and firefighters, engineers and infantry.
Hoses. Never mind. I can't see it online.
No, but, you know, you touched on something there, Ash, when you said, you know, you guys aren't looking for anything. You're really just trying to make this, you know, swag bags and make this as memorable and as positive of an experience as possible for the fellas and ladies, if you've got ladies, but the people that are coming out and taking part in this, right? Because I know Dave, you and I have talked about it. Philly, you've been in on the conversations too. And both of you guys get it as well, because you're both first responders. So you see it on your end as well. But it just seems to me that, and I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but it do seem that there are some people out there that are using the backs of veterans, first responders, or any other group of people to try and get free gear and to try and build up their own goose spread or whatever it is. Their main goal isn't to help. Their main goal is to get some gear on the backs of these other people, right? And I'm glad to say that I definitely don't get that vibe from you, because you guys really don't want nothing. You're just, everything is just going to the people that's going on to the hunts, right? And you have a waterfowl foundation that's actually putting the hunt together for you. So, you know.
Yeah, the foundation was started back in 98 by friend Tim's dad was part of the founding of it, and a couple other local guys, just to bring, you know, some limelight to the marsh and stuff, because it's a heritage thing. You know, they trapped and hunted and fished the area, and it's about 9 miles from my house. So, but it kind of fell by the wayside. COVID wrecked everything.
Of course. You know,
and then we kind of, I kind of got looped into it and said, okay, yeah, you're part of this now. So, okay, I guess so. And we had a lot of beers and didn't write anything down for a couple of years. And then this year we're like, all right, piss on it. We're doing it. So here we go.
That's amazing. Oh, go, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, like, Damien and I, as small of a company as we are, we still get a lot of people reaching out and asking for donations and stuff and asking, hey, we want this. And, you know, here's how it's going to help. At first, Damien and I were just like, oh, yeah, you say the word veteran or first responder, we're jumping. Yeah, 100%. And then we started getting caught in the, well, who won? Who got it? Who did this? You know, and it's just going to help us to take them out, or it's just going to, you know, it's going to be in our truck. And that's all. Well, thank you, though. You know, and it's, but there are a lot of good companies out there that are doing the right things. Matt Dalton from New Canoe, he's down in, I think, Michigan. They do a veterans thing down there.
Yeah.
Rich Fanning, they do a lot of veterans stuff. You as well. Like, so there are a lot of good companies out there. It's just, it does, some of them do leave a bad taste in your mouth, right?
Yeah. So, well, and that's what we say. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, we'll throw stickers in the bags. We don't care. Yeah. You know, like decals for their trucks. I don't care. You know, just something to say thank you.
Absolutely. You know, and then, well, that I can do. That we can do. We can get some stickers out to you.
Perfect.
We can get that out to you for sure.
Yep. And then,
sorry, I cut you off. No, I cut you off, buddy.
But yeah, it's, you know, in some places, no, we're not doing it. Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much. The ones that do, we'll do up a picture frame with a thank you letter, everything. There you guys go. Thanks for donating and, you know, stuff like that. I try to keep it as local as possible too, because then it's, of course, you know, you're not reaching out to somewhere, you know, Alberta or BC or whatever, because they don't know.
Yeah, no, of course. And what I liked is what you just said is that you're just trying to give the fellas something, right, that they can walk away with, because a bar of soap, you know, fellas some people may laugh at the fact that the bar of soap, but then when you get it and you have it, then you're like, fuck, this is good. I'm glad I got this now, because I took, we gave out towels one year. Dave, remember when we gave out the Purina towels? And people sort of kind of laughed at us. We held a camp and we gave out these big, like, Purina dog food towels. And people sort of kind of laughed that we were giving them out. Anyways, we get to the camp and like 90% of the dudes that came to the camp, nobody brought a towel with them. They all forgot to bring a towel for when they showered. And I was like, well, no, not so fucking funny now, is it?
Yeah.
So
you got to wonder if some of them just forgot that you have to shower when you go to a guy's camp,
well,
right?
Well, like, and this is the other thing. It's a bunch
Mitch
of
Davis.
But this is the other thing. It's a bunch of waterfowlers, right? So Sometimes you got to give them a hint and put in a bar of soap into a bag just to remind them, hey, listen, you don't need to be dirty for the whole week, and you can take a shower and wash up.
You were a little fresh in the A-frame this morning.
A little fresh, yeah.
Why is everyone in the A-frame except the one guy's in the layout line?
No, that's awesome, buddy. And it sounds like you guys got a good plan. You know, like when we usually do it, we don't just do it for veterans or whatever, but we'll usually do a meet and greet that night on the Friday night. That usually involves some pops and stuff like that. But once Saturday morning hits, it's go time. And I don't know if you've been a part of one of these before. I know you were kind of, and now then COVID came in and now you're back getting it on the go.
Yeah, well, that's how, like, my buddy Tim, who's helping run this, he actually rented the house across the street from us. And that's how I got to know him. And then that fall, which I blame him for me wanting to hunt waterfowl again, because I did it when I grew up in Saskatchewan, he got my name in for the Faces of Freedom hunt that used to be out here.
Oh, cool.
So I got to go out and partake in the one event. And that the next year, one of the guys who was on it, who was a buddy of mine, another Patricia, and he committed suicide in the fall. So it kind of speared me on to, okay, this needs to be done. And so I helped out. We didn't have it the next year. Then I helped out the two following years. And then COVID happened. And so I was part of, I was on both ends of it. I helped organize it. And I also was part of it. So,
okay, cool. So you get it from both sides. You understand, how can I say it? You understand the importance of it from a participant's viewpoint, but then at the other hand, you get to see how appreciative these people are, right? When you put something, because listen, let's face it, it's all volunteer. You're taking time out of your own busy schedule to try and put this together. And that's what I think I like most about these things. And Dave, we do it when we do our camps. And we've been doing the camps for a while. I don't think we've ever had a bad comment. I think everybody is genuinely just happy because you're around the same like-minded people. And it's just fun. And, you know, complete strangers become great friends for years and years to come.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see the amount of people that still keep in touch and like hunt together now because they met at one of our camps. And that's kind of the thing that does it for me, right? About the biggest negativity we ever see about it is the people that can't get in, because we just open it up on Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is, and the first 15 people to sign up get in. Well, the guy that's 16th, 17th, 18th, it sells out in like 3-4 minutes for the guys' camps, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He'll be sitting in the parking lot with a tire iron, hoping to get up, you know, move up in the line.
Yeah. So you touched on Manitoba, was it?
Yeah.
You're from? And you're getting actual licensed guides there to do the hunts?
Well, we are.
Oh, you are. Okay. Is that something that you have to do for a camp like this? See, in Ontario, tomorrow morning, Damien can just say, I'm a guide now. And you're a guide now. No, so it's kind of a different thing, right?
Yeah. You have to write an exam.
And then good.
Yeah. 80% pass. So, and it's all about rule, you know, your rule, mostly party hunting, stuff like that. So you have to go through all that. Then, you know, have to have your first aid and then have to have your hunter safety and then a few other things and then submit it. Then they're your guide and the government gets $25 from you every year after that. So,
yeah, they need to implement that here in Ontario.
I think so too, Philly. I really do.
That was my next comment, you dick.
Cops.
Should have been faster. Day late and a dollar short there.
Yeah.
Philly, your video is lagging, buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah, that is weird. Or maybe it's me.
He's using the body cam footage, right?
Well, I'm in like the same spot as every single night using the same computer.
Yeah, I don't know. The gerbil inside isn't running fast enough, I guess.
Yeah, he's gonna pick up the pace.
So what are you looking? Go for it, Dave.
No, I just wanted to continue. Like, it's kind of twofold. I really want to talk more about the veteran stuff, but I really think we should also touch on, wasn't it Manitoba that had all these regulation changes for the guide service for waterfowl?
It was. It's coming in. It's mostly for the guys coming out of the States.
Okay.
So I got to brush up on that more for this year, okay. You know, because it's almost going, I think this year it's the same as it was before, but next year they're almost going to a draw.
Yep.
So yeah,
that's what we're hearing. Yeah.
Which, you know, some people complain that, oh, you know, there's, you know, this guy didn't get, you know, he went to 5 fields and got blanked out. Guess what? I drove around for 7 days and blanked out. And then all of a sudden I had 4 fields lined up.
Yeah.
It's part of waterfowl hunting. You know, we got 750,000 people, 20 minutes from me.
Yeah.
And I hunt 15 minutes from here. Well, it's only, you know, it's under a 45 minute drive and there's lots of birds and everyone from Winnipeg comes up to hunt in the Interlake where we hunt.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to blank out. It just happens. That's the way it is.
It almost sounded like they were trying to reduce the number of American hunters coming in, not guide service, but hunters coming to hunt.
Well, the big thing with it is you see all these guys, like they're complaining that, you know, a guide service would lock up 30,000 acres. So nobody could hunt it except for the guys who are guiding. So okay. That's kind of why they changed that. So.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Cause the way I understood it, it was this, and you're probably the perfect person to talk to cause you're a guide and the whole bit, but the way I understood it was that it was getting put in place to try and stop guides coming into Manitoba. So American guides coming into Manitoba and freelancing. That was the way I understood it.
Okay.
So go for it.
Wasn't it also that like some American guides would come up and just say that they were hunting but not guiding, and it was kind of trying to crack down on that a little bit as well?
Yeah.
Could be.
A little bit. There was also regulations in there about like Americans that owned homes in Manitoba and the amount of time that they can actually hunt there.
Yeah, there's time limits now and stuff like that for that.
Yeah. So how have you talked to any of the local businesses about what they're thinking about with this coming in? Because at the end of the day, it does seem like it's going to reduce the amount of people coming in to hunt, which would affect the overall
economy.
You know, like the Chinese food restaurant isn't going to have 30 hunters now. It's going to have 15.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing that we were thinking about and talking about when we had Sean Stahl on, is that it's going to make all these changes. And I'm sorry for going off on this tangent, is what I do because I got attention deficit and all that shit. But just figured you're the perfect guy to talk about it because you're actually from there, right? So do you think it will actually affect local businesses in that sense, in the fact that they won't have, you know, like the local corner store is not going to sell as much ammo, the Chinese restaurant's not going to have,
you know, like for here, there's quite a bit of waterfowling, not as much as out west. Like Western Manitoba, because you got that flyway that's more so towards Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
You may see more of it out there, mm-hmm. You know, in Selkirk, that's where I live right now. Our big push is in the fall and winter. It's crazy here for fishermen. Like you see,
really?
When March rolls around, there's nothing but track trucks and snow bears and all this, like it's all American money coming into the town. Like, you know, they go to Boston Pizza, they stay at the hotel. You know, oh, this is the hot lure. They go by 6, you know, that kind of stuff. But there still would be an influx in the fall for sure.
But that's the thing. Like, it's hard to pick a side. And I think that's where we were, Philly and Dave, is that we were struggling to pick a side on which was the right way for this, where to lean. Because on one side, I'm looking at all of the hotels, motels, restaurants, you know, that just, you know, they make, I'm not saying they make all their money, but they make a lot of money when the Americans are coming across the border. So obviously that influx into the economy is big, and these businesses rely on it. But then I also understand you've got guide services out there that this is their this is how they're putting food on their table for their family. So I was having a hard, and I still don't know which way to lean, to be honest with you. I'm still very 50-50 on this.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens after the next couple of years, definitely, to see what's, well, how the cards lay, right?
Yeah.
Look what happened to, like, Central and Northern Ontario when they canceled the spring bear hunt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So Northern Ontario is a ghost town now, right?
Yeah. Like, towns literally shut down.
Yeah.
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 Well, and I can remember, like, I've hunted in Manitoba only for a day or two. And then we went on to Saskatchewan and we hunted out there. And we were with a guide, but it was a little tiny town, and everything, like every person that came into that, every new person that came into that town was eating at the restaurant, was eating at the Chinese restaurant, was going and buying their Pilsner, because you got to drink Pilsner when you're in Saskatchewan.
How many rabbits are on that bottle? You figured out yet?
No, not yet. Well, actually, you know what? I've never ever even tried to count them, but I will next time. But you know, like, this is a thing, and it is an important thing for these communities that this money comes in, right? Because, listen, let's face it, they can't survive just on Canadian hunters alone. They can't. No. They need that American dollar come, and listen, when the American dollar is soaring the way it is right now, that's just good news for the economy.
And
up
it's
there,
more right? incentive for them to come up here because it's cheaper.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know, and even it was interesting with the last year because of the avian flu and stuff, the changes now that came through where everything has to be bagged and no blood and sealed up and all this stuff, when yet they're, all you did was make them stop short of the border anyways. They're going there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one thing I can remember. We all talked about this when these restrictions came out, and we were like, well, does somebody not tell the scientists that birds don't actually know that there's a border there, and they just come back and forth as they please.
They don't check in with a passport.
No, they definitely don't. They definitely don't. I had another train of thought that I wanted to go down, but what was it? Dave wanted to talk about the change to the gut. Anyways, I've lost it.
Whoops.
Should have wrote it down.
Yeah, I should have wrote it down. I should have wrote it down. Ash, no, you're right.
Do you actually do guiding on the side, or do you just have the guide license for this?
I just got my guide license actually this year.
Okay.
So I got it kind of for this, but also, like, I can leave my current job in 9 years retired. So just kind of lining things up for when I retire too. And then I got a buddy who guides, so I can go help him out then if they got a big group. And then if they question it, yeah, I got my license. I'm good. So that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And
now the...
No, go ahead. So, I screwed you up last time.
No, so we're talking, you know, I think you said 15, 16, 17 September. I think those were the dates you said. So, like, what are you guys expecting to see that time? Are you expecting just nothing but straight Canada's, like, specs?
Trains? It's rare if you see a spec out here.
Oh, is
very,
it?
Very, very rare. They're more west.
Okay.
So you run it, you do find some snow geese throughout the year, but it's mostly Canadas or lessers. Every now and again, you get some cacklers coming through and stuff like that. And,
right.
But once we do the marsh hunt in the afternoon, odds are that, you know, we'll run into mallards. There'll be teals coming through and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And,
right.
Yeah. They'll have fun missing those teals, not realizing you have to lead them on Wednesday to hit them Tuesday. So.
Yep.
Well, that, and you know what? The beauty about it is that, you're going to put this off, and I hope it's a smasher. I really do. And I hope everybody fills all their limits. And you guys are going to be there and guiding them and sort of kind of setting things up. So they're going to be spoiled right off the bat, because they're going to get all these birds and after good shots, they're going to, you know, they're going to fill their limits and stuff like that. And then they're going to get a false sense, right? Because they're going to go, duck hunting's awesome. Look at all these birds we shot with the first day out. We got all these birds, and then they got to go do it by themselves. And they're like, man, this is not easy whatsoever.
One of the fields that we have lined up, it can only be hunted for the youth hunt and the veteran hunt. That's the only time people can step foot on that field.
Wow,
that's cool. So we shot it a couple years ago, and it was a 20-minute limit. We're done. Like, we had trucks and trailers, and birds are landing in by the, you know, decoys laid out on the ground, and it was a great shoot, and you know, the guys had a riot, but we listened to them because it used to be a one-day event, so it was foot to the floor, give her, okay, bye.
Yeah,
and you don't get that hunting camp feel where you sit down and relax and have a bevy or two and visit and get to know the guy next to you. And
yeah, like Dave, Phil, you guys can weigh in on this, but like, I would say, like, we have a lot of fun when we hunt at our camps, but I would say the most fun is when we're not hunting, when we're back and we're cooking our meals, having a drink, screwing around, doing just, you know, telling jokes and making fun of somebody that missed a shot or whatever. Like, that's where the real fun is. It is fun to get out hunting, but when you got everybody around, that's when the real fun happens.
Yeah. I don't go to the camp to hunt.
Right.
It's totally a side bit to just the whole collective atmosphere, so to speak, like hanging out in the parking lot, having beers, you know, like, especially like the camp last year in Renfrew, like hanging out in the parking lot, talking about shotguns, checking guys, guns, this and that, you know, people, you know, are looking to on the road, like, oh, here, pick this up, swing this, how does this feel?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, we were sitting there talking about cameras for like hours on end in the parking lot and stuff. Like, it just, that's where I go. Just talk about stuff. Have beers, talk about stuff. And eat like a pig. But, well, you know, the hunting's just a bonus.
Well, and then, you know, there's all these, and I assume it's the same out in Manitoba, Ash, but there's all these, you know, waterfowl forums and pages on Facebook and on the websites and all this stuff. So there's a bunch of names of people that you know electronically, but you've never ever had a chance to meet. And these are the types of things where you actually get to sit down with someone, shake their hand, meet them face to face, and then, you know, build on that relationship. So those are the things that I think most fellas get excited because they think they're going to get in on some amazing hunts, but it's what happens after the hunts that really wants them to come back again, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's about, is just getting out and meeting the guys and visiting with them. And, you know, veterans, first responders, they're the best.
Go ahead.
Oh, he'll be right back.
They're
getting another drink.
Yeah. They're an awesome group to be with because they can roll with the punches. You know, this didn't happen, but we're going to do this now. Okay. You know, and away they go. They just kind of go with it. And if one group gets a great hunt and the next group doesn't, well, that's just what it is. And they're like, oh, whatever, you know, great job. You know, let's, you know, sit by the fire, hear the stories and share them, everything, share the work, and away you go.
And it's kind of neat to see some of the guys that they've never met before, never even heard of each other. Hey, this is Mitch, this is George, this is whoever, right?
Yeah.
And by the end of the weekend, they've exchanged information. They hug each other goodbye. They still talk, and they go hunt together all the time now. It's pretty phenomenal to see that stuff, right?
Yeah. Like this group, I sent a thing out to Shiloh. We've got currently serving Patricia's coming out of Shiloh for it. And then we've got two guys who are retired from the military. One was, he was a Patricia years ago. I served with him, and then he became a water tech, a Wiffy tech.
Yeah.
So he plays in poo. And then another guy is a reserve guy that I work with. So, you know, told him, like, he's going to be walking with legends there. You know, he did 3 years in the reserve, but it's not about, like, if it doesn't matter who comes out. You know, that's, we want a mix of currently serving, retired, reserves. We don't care. So, but we got some pretty cool prizes for the guys that are coming. So you know, that we're going to be drawing names out of a hat for. There's a veteran here in town. He makes knives and calls and stuff like that. He donated a knife this year.
Okay.
And this summer I was up at a lake up by Flin Flon, which is about 8 hours north of Winnipeg. Yeah. It's a little ways up there.
Yeah.
And talking with the guy who knows a good buddy of mine, who's retiring from the Patricias here in a couple weeks. And he runs a fishing camp up there, and he donated a 2-night stay plus guiding.
Wow.
So all the guys have to do, whoever gets it, all he has to do is get there. And everything else is taken care of. Well, minus food and beer.
Yeah.
But everything else is taken care of for him. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when whoever that winner is, you can put them in touch with me, because I met a girl from Flin Flon one time, and I'm going to tell you, she made me blush.
Probably working in the mine.
And and when we go off the air here, I'll tell you the story about when I was in Winnipeg and I met her. So
handsome lady she was.
No, she was a knockout. Is just anyways, we'll save that story for off the air.
Why am I picturing Damien standing there with helicopters flying over and
guns, missiles?
No, I'll tell you that story too, Ash, when we get off, because that's an epic story. But this one here, Marco Cunha, he's listening, and Tim Binch, those guys are listening. They know the story because they were there. But anyways, I digress. But it's a great story. I'll tell you offline. It's the awesome.
Valkyrie song is playing, and
Flight of the Valkyries going.
Flight of the Valkyries. Yeah. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That was just had to get that said there. Ash buddy, so you know what is, you know, what's your goal out of all of this? Like, what's gonna, you know, when the weekend is over, and you sit back and you crack a beer and you're just gonna go through everything that has happened over the last 3 days. What's gonna make it? How are you gonna deem this a success?
Just if everyone had a good time. It's not, like you said, it's not about killing birds.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bonus if we get birds, which that time of year, typically around here, it's pretty good. Like, I, you're not working, you're not hunting tilled fields, they're all stubbled still and everything like that. And we've got guys who are helping, who they run permission for farmers. So they've got a bunch of stuff locked. You know, it's just, we're going to hunt this one now. Yeah, go. And they just keep them for us just for that weekend.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be good. But it's, as long as the guys have a good time, I don't care. You know, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone's who is, you know, veteran or first responder who gets to go and participate in something like this.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's, you know, everyone has a good time, nobody cares.
Would you, and Dave and Phil, you guys chime in on this too. You know, I can't speak about the firefighter, the police, the first responder side of things, but I can speak on the military side of things. And in Canada, historically, there, you know, we never did do a lot for our veterans and our military, right? Like, there wasn't organizations that would try and put things together for currently serving or veteran soldiers, airmen, Navy, whatever they are, right? And I don't know if that's always been the case with police and firefighters, but south of the border in the United States, like, their police, firefighters, military, they're treated like gold. We never really had that mentality up in Canada, but over the last, it seems like maybe the last 10, 15 years, it seems like it's becoming more the norm now, where people are going out of their way to say thanks to first responders, military people. Have you noticed the same in your worlds?
A little bit.
I know there was a brief time there where everybody was talking about defunding the police, and then some stupid fuckers did, and then their town went to shit, and then they were like, hire back the police.
Well, here's a funny thing. Yearly's like, defund the police protest. What do they do? Go, can we have you guys, like, just kind of help make sure everything's safe?
Yeah. But, you know, like, down in the state, like, especially the military, like in the United States, like they're very, very well respected, and there's a lot of perks to being in the military down in the States, and people that as a community, as a population, as a whole, they seem to embrace their military a little bit more than what we did in what we do in Canada. But now you're seeing things like what Ash is doing. You're seeing things like what Maritime Goose Hunters have done. And there's all these other organizations out there that have done these things. It just seems like it's becoming more the norm now. Would you guys agree, or is that just me?
I noticed that, like, I've been in since 97, or yeah. Well, I served from 97 to 2011.
Okay.
And I noticed the change, as horrible as it is to say, when guys started coming home in body bags from Afghanistan, because yeah. the public went, oh shit, this is actually happening.
Yeah, this is real. Yeah.
This is real. And that's where I noticed the shift.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. I can see it. And I would say it's the same, you know, for the police and the firefighters now, because you see news information is so readily available now, right? Like anything happens, it shows up. And I think that's one of the big things. And I think people actually know more about the job now and the dangers that first responders, military, you know, people in that line of work that they do. But I don't know, Dave, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I do know that there was some before, but as you right. said, like probably the first time that I ever really thought about it was when Jordan from Maritime Goose Hunters, they started yeah. their thing.
Yeah.
And then he was telling me about, I said, you know what, give me an overview. Like, what are you doing here? And he's like, we're just trying to get people out, trying to take them on hunts. You know, if they have, you know, PTSD, anything, we're trying to get them out and give them an outlet.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about it. I talked to a couple people about it, and I tried to talk to people from both sides, and yeah, I think it's kind of a newer concept that's catching on here.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that the biggest comment that I did hear from a couple people talking was, so you're telling me that you're going to take someone with PTSD, someone with this, someone with that into a hunting blind and give them a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, it's not so much that, it's the whole experience. Like, it's, you're thinking about this little piece of like 5 minute time frame, whereas the whole day, the whole experience, the getting to know people, the having someone to talk to, like you'll talk about shit in that blind that people will open up and you'll talk and you'll become friends, and it gives you that outlet. So I do think that the outdoors being an outlet for people is a seemingly newer concept, I think is fair to say.
Yeah, right. I think I think you hit it right on the head there. I think people are realizing now, and I could see the optics of, okay, so you have some, you know, difficulties, whatever, and we're putting a gun, but yeah, holding the gun is a minute percentage of what's happening throughout that weekend, right? Like. And you just said it, like fellas open up to fellas when you've had shared experiences, right? And that's when fellas open up, and that's when you can start talking about the things that really piss you off or bug you. And it is an outlet, and it's a way that to recover. And I think what you're doing, Ash, is people won't realize it as they're driving to your event. But I think when the event is over, they will say, shit, like I actually feel good. Like this was great, because you know as well as I do, Ash, most veterans, once they leave, they tend to distance themselves from the military, right? Not because they're bitter or anything like that. It's just, well, this is a new stage of my life. I did it when I retired. I was like, well, I'm going for a new stage of my life, so I need to distance myself. But that was the last thing I should have done. I really should have stayed closer to my friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know it, and I think that's what you're going to see when this weekend is over, is that fellas are going to.
Yeah. Well, and it's a gauge too for us, because, you know, okay, this worked really well. We could change this for next year, right? like you've heard the term, Damien, living document.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this is going to be.
Yeah.
It's ever changing. Okay. We have 7 guys this year. Well, maybe next year we could do 10, mm-hmm. you know, and figure it out that way. Or, you know, no, 8's our magic number. We're staying with that. And then as things develop, okay, we can do this or that and change it then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I also take part in, I volunteer my time for the Soldier On program. They do a day of fishing out here.
Yep.
So, and people are, they're blown away. Why aren't you like taking part in this? Because you're a veteran. I'm like, because I've got a boat and I can take 2 people out. Let's go. Like, you know, and that's, you know, watching the, we had a lady and her son this year and watching his, her son catch his first fish.
Yeah.
You know, it was a 33-inch channel cat. But, you know, 15-pound, he was having a riot, you know, we caught a ton of fish and I almost got beat up in the parking lot because we caught most of the fish in the whole event, whatever.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, yeah. You were probably working with Dan Whitaker out there. So when I retired, I went to work for Soldier On for a little bit. So
okay.
I was the Eastern Ontario dude there for a little while.
Okay.
When you talked about catfishing at the start of the episode, I was like, oh man, I hope he's like one of those guys that does that. You know, that Hannah Barron lady that's on all the social media. She like
catfish,
fucking hand right into their mouths. And then she's like holding them. They're as big as her. And she's holding them up and they're flopping around.
No,
like, she's got bite marks all up her arm. Like I'm thinking, man, this dude's seriously tough as shit.
But... well, my luck, I'd put my hand in a hole and get bit by a snapping turtle. So
Okay, so let's do this tangent right now. Let's go down. Like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life, because I think exactly how you do, Ash. I'm going to shove my hand down in a hole, hoping I'm going to pull out this big catfish.
But hoping to get your 5 fingers back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane.
Going to the bar on a Friday night.
But that is that not insane though? Like
there was definitely whiskey involved when that thing started, for sure.
Yeah, let's do this thing here. We're gonna do it. We're gonna call it catfish noodling. We're gonna stick our arm in a hole. We're gonna hope the catfish bites it, and then we'll grab it by the gill plate. Like, yeah, good idea, boys.
Yeah, you got that. You look for that one dumb guy. It's like, we got a job for you.
Yeah,
but it's awesome. Like when you watch them and you see them doing it, it's awesome. But like, for every picture that you see someone successful and pulls out like this big giant catfish, I'm sure there's a dozen dudes that have lost a finger.
As the old saying goes, don't put your fingers where you wouldn't put your pecker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the fact there's snapping turtles in there, there's snakes, like they do it in the South.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't do it with channel cats, they do it with blues and flatheads. So different species.
Okay.
But yeah, that they're more of a southern catfish. But yeah, there's snakes in there. There's turtles. There's all kinds of stuff. Like, yeah, no, I'll just stay in the boat.
And that's the thing. Like, when I see that Hannah Barron girl doing it, I'm like, that fish is almost as big as her. Yeah. He's going to pull her ass in there. And nope, she just hikes it out of that hole. And So the real guest that I would want to get on would be her dad. Like, how did you raise a kid to go out in the world? Like, I've been trying to get a hold of that dude, because I'm like, talk about raising your daughter to be one of the toughest fucking kids I've ever seen on this, you know, using social media.
She has bigger balls than her dad.
Yeah.
And that dude's a tough looking fucker too. Like the dad, holy Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just, it just, to me, like, yeah, man, it's just, I know there's got to be bad accidents. Like, there's
guys drown every year.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, like if you hook into something massive, like so, or like if you're a young kid and you're doing it,
gator.
Jesus, I never even thought about gators.
Well, this guy's talking about they're down south, and all I can think is like, isn't that where gators are? Is down south? Fuck that.
Yeah. Well, blues and flathead catfish can get to be over 100 pounds, and they're nothing but muscle.
Okay, boys. So anybody, because we know that you're listening, I know there's a bunch of boys, a bunch of good old boys that are listening to this, and they're just laughing their ass off at us, saying, "Those stupid Canadians, they don't know how to have fun." But if somebody is listening to this episode, from down there that does it, please get in touch with us, because we'd love to have you on, because it's not duck hunting.
You know what?
We want to talk about this.
You get in touch and I'm getting on a plane. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to fucking shove my hand in a hole and pick up one of these big bastards.
Well, I'll come with you, but I'll film. I am not doing it.
I'm not jumping out of the boat. Damien's like, I'm not getting out of the boat. Fuck that.
No, not.
Yeah, they'll make fun of us not doing that, but they won't drive on a truck. You know, take a truck out on Lake Winnipeg in February, because you shouldn't drive a truck on ice.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, when it's minus 40 for 8 weeks, you can drive a tank over it. So. Yeah.
Well, even that Paige Gilead went down and she did the catfish noodling.
Yeah,
She's not a very big girl either.
She's not, so. but that girl, like Paige is another, like Paige is a person that could, like a zombie apocalypse could happen right now. And Paige could go out in the woods and
yeah.
Yeah.
And just survive and be like, you know, yeah, I'm 100%. Good. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. No big deal. Much like Philly. That's how Philly is too. Philly's a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, as long as I got some bird dog, we're good to go.
Got some bird dog. and all your musky lures.
I could use some of these things as a club. They're that big.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I'm trying to do. That was my argument. So, Ash, and if you're interested, here's my plug for Tetra Hearing. So this was going to be my argument to Philly Dave. So Tetra Hearing, they make these hearing aid devices, and as you know, it's drilled in us for earplugs when we're shooting and stuff like that, which I'd done all my career, but when it came to duck hunting, I never put earplugs in, and now I'm getting hearing loss and stuff. So I'm going ahead and I'm buying a pair of Tetra hearing aids or hearing protection, whatever. And I know Phil has talked about it, because he's the same thing, right? Cop and Philly, I would think, same thing. The only thing you would use hearing protection was when you're on the range, right? But you're not walking the beat with hearing protection in,
no.
Correct?
No, it's been all the years of shit like hunting.
Yeah, but
driving with the window down on the highway. Believe it or not,
listen to Taylor Swift,
which is what attributed to my hearing loss.
But so this was going to be my argument. I was going to say, Philly, I'm ordering some Tetra hearing devices. Did you want to get in on them? And if Philly would have said, no, it's too expensive, the first thing I would have said is that, dude, the amount of musky lures you have in your house could outfit a small group of hunters in Tetra hearing devices. And that's fact.
Have you guys seen that comedy skit where the deaf guy and they put the new hearing aid system on his head and he can hear for the first time? And the doctor's like, can you hear my voice? And the doctor says, can you hear my voice? And the guy's like, he's speaking in the deaf.
Yeah.
How it sounds. Right. And he's this is amazing. And then all of a sudden his wife starts talking. Oh my God, honey, this is so awesome. He's like, what the because that make it stop?
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I thought you were going to go on about, like, yeah, you want to be able to hear your wife and kids when you're older and all that stuff.
No,
that's exactly what I was thinking about, is that comedy sketch that they did.
Well, my kids, I want to hear my kids, but Trish, no, not so much. Yeah, not so much. Now, there was something else. There was another.
An interesting thing that Damien said when we were talking to Heath, is that
how you say Heath it? Hancock, yeah.
Heath was messaging with Heath. He was messaging with Heath and saying, like, I don't know if Dave will want a set because he shoots a 28 gauge. But the other thing to think of is just because you solo hunt most of the time with a 28 gauge, don't forget that other people in that blind, the people that ring your ears, the people that they're shooting as well. So think about your hearing in that sense. But going on that tangent, Damien, I think we have something we can tell people about picking up Tetra at a discount.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So if you are interested in buying Tetra hearing devices, you can reach out to us. We've got a discount code. We can pass it on to you. It's not a huge amount, but it's something. And believe me, Ash, and you know it as well as I do. And same with Dave and Phil, because we've all been wrong in the blind, right? Someone swung their gun over your head, pulled the trigger. And it's bad, man. Like my left ear, like anything now, gunshot, it hurts. And I don't even need to be real close anymore where it actually hurts. So I've really got to buckle down and buy a set of hearing protection. So anyways, long ways around it. If you are interested in getting something, let me know. I can hook you up with a discount code. Even if you want customized ones, or if you just want the regular right off the shelf, let me know. We can, Dave and I can get you a discount code and get you going down there. Yeah.
Anything like that is huge, you know, like coming from the combat arms, especially with us, cause you're, you know, you take one, two steps forward on a, where you should be on a tank and he kicks the main gun. Okay. Well, I'll pick myself up and get the dirt out of my mouth and, you know,
try you and feel that the in your chest. Yeah. You feel that in the chest. That one hurts. That
or you're, you know, you don't have earplugs and okay, find a cigarette butt and shove it in your ear. And seen guys do that. Or you know, I wear a set whenever I'm out, you know, for goose hunting. And even I hunt a lot of coyotes in the fall, like wintertime and stuff like that. I wear them for that. It just, anything makes a difference.
Well, and the one thing I gotta say, which is awesome, is that if you're on social media and you're watching, so a lot of people our age and older, they're still not wearing, not everybody's wearing hearing protection, but you will see everybody that brings their kids out. Yep. Very rarely will you see a guy or a girl with their kids and their kids not have hearing protection, and which is amazing to see. And like you had said, Dave, talking back and forth to Heath, like it is something that, that Tetra is trying, they're trying to change this mentality where people don't put in hearing protection. I get it. Like these things are expensive. And I know they're expensive, but at the same time, they're half the price of what you're spending on your premium, auto loader, right? Half the price of, and half the price of what you're spending on your dog, and a fraction of the price of what you're spending on decoys. And this is your hearing. So, and that's how I'm justifying it to myself. Cause Dave, you and I talked about it last night when we were talking about buying them. And I was like, I spend so much money on decoys and guns and everything else, and yet here I am complaining about my hearing. So that's how I'm justifying it to myself, is if I'm spending that kind of money on the gear, why not protect my hearing?
And these new technological hearing protections, they're really good for Ash, someone like Ash who's out taking out other hunters and guiding. If you're taking out your kids, right? Like I found when I was taking my kids out, they would want to be like, okay, Dad, what do I do now? What do I do here? And I wasn't wearing hearing protection. Like normally I'd put earplugs in, right?
Yeah.
But with the kids, it's like, okay, they're talking all the time and I got to see what's going on. So I would take mine out and then that would show them to maybe take theirs out, but no, leave yours in and just talk to me, right? But these things, they actually have it so that kind of the sound of the human voice you can hear, right? So there's benefit there in that sense too. So
and then the frequency of you know, they've got it narrowed down so that, you know, if a duck, you'll hear that frequency of a duck more clear. But then on the other hand, you got a guy like Phil where those Tetra hearing, it just doesn't fit you, right, Phil? Like no matter, even they're still custom, he can go get the injections done, but it still doesn't fit his ears. So Phil's got to, you know, jerry rig and come up with alternate, because even though I try to pressure him into buying them, he can't.
I would love to get something. And like, so for those, because we discussed this before the show started recording today. So for those that are watching the show, not listening, watching.
Don't even see me. Oh, okay. I was going to say, because your video is lagging, nobody can't see anything right now.
Yeah.
So for those watching the show, you'll see me constantly fiddle fucking with these earbuds. So I went and had my ears tested last year to find how drastically my hearing sucks, and it's brutal. But my issue is, there's like, I need to keep this one in because that's the microphone. There's like a little cup in the bottom of your ear here that kind of like will hold like your Tetras or like the Wild Ears or those type of like big injection molded hearing things. I can't wear them. Just because the way my ears are, I cannot wear those. So I got to try to find some sort of alternative. Now, caveat, Tetra does have, what is it, the Aquas?
Yeah, the Alpha Shields.
Alphas, yeah.
Yeah.
Those might be an option for me.
Yeah, I think they will.
As opposed to the big Fandango, like those are like a one-size-fits-most ordeal.
Yeah.
They're not
95% uniquely custom injected.
Yeah, I'll be in that 5% just you watch.
No, buddy, I guarantee you won't. That there's only one person on this screen that would fit in that 5%, and his name starts with Dave.
Yeah.
Because,
well, it's 50-50. They'll fit or they won't.
I guarantee you that if Dave was the when Dave orders them, I guarantee you Dave is within the 5% that of what that of that doesn't fit his ears. I guarantee it. It's gonna happen. Ash, buddy, I'm sorry we went on this tangent.
We're I'm all good you.
Well, before we get off this tangent, we need to get Heath on the show again.
Yes, Heath is coming on
talking about Tetra because I have some funny comments that I'm gonna make just to get him going. Heath, if you're listening,
yeah,
I'm sorry in advance.
Yeah, no, he is coming on. I think it's up to me to send him a date right now, date and time. So he is coming on. So we'll talk more about this. Ash, buddy, we've been sort of kind of all over the place. So I really want to give you another opportunity. Anything that we didn't discuss and something and anything that you want to get out to the listeners to get more attention or whatever it is that you need. The platform is yours, buddy. Use it. Feel free if you want to come back on before the event and you need to get something out, please let us know. We'll make time for you to get you on. But I'll give it to you right now, buddy. Anything else you want to say, go for it.
Yeah, I think everything's pretty much been covered, you know, like just to kind of raise awareness about what's going on. And it was a, you know, a good avenue as well to talk about, like you say, some people piggybacking off of veterans or first responders and stuff like that, where, you know, it's my partner in this, Tim, he helped out with the Faces of Freedom, I think for 10 years
Wow.
before we kind of started this one and carrying it on. So it's by far, it's not about us. It's about the 6-8 guys that we bring out. Everything is for them, make it as easy for them as we can, but we listen to them too and have that, you know, like you said, it's camp,
right?
You know, you pull the trigger, well, now we got to work. If you don't pull the trigger, you can sit there and drink beer by the fire,
yeah,
you know, and do that. And it's, we're just going to roll with the punches and see how it goes this year and tweak it, make amends next year and go from there again. So
hey buddy, you can always improve, right? And so I got to tell you, even though I'm not going to be there to take part in it, I got to say thank you, because on behalf of any of the veterans that's going to come, and I know they're going to have a great time. And I got to say thank you for you and your buddy, Tim, for doing this and the Mersch Waterfowl Foundation that's doing this, because we really do appreciate it. We'll do a quick around the table and then we'll sign off, buddy. Philly, to you, my man.
Ash, great having you on. Wish you nothing but the best. And I hope this works out. I hope this flourishes and does well for the future and gets even more guys out. And thank you for your service.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Dave?
Ash, just like you said, thank you for your service. Thanks for what you're doing and starting up here. Hopefully it takes off, and hopefully other people see this and they actually want to do this the right way, the correct way. And they're not in it just, you know, to make something out for themselves off of it. And they're trying to do it. Appreciate what you've done. Thanks for coming on. And look forward to talking
again. Thanks for having me on, guys. Much appreciated. And if anything comes up Damien, like you said, I'll pop back on or whatever, or yeah, even after the hunt, I'll be sending pictures to you guys and sharing them and stuff like that. And
awesome. Yeah, that's a great idea, dude. Like if even if you don't come on before the hunt, when it's over, and if some of the boys that done the hunt with you, they want to come on and talk about it and try and drum up some attention for it for next year. You got an open invite, buddy. All you got to do is reach out and we'll fit you in and we'll do it. And I think it'd make for a great show too. And don't thank him for his service. He's a fucking dirty Patricia. No, don't do that. He's a dirty Patricia. He's a fucking cowboy. I'll explain that to you as offline.
Ash, before we stop, I think you need to say something about Damien.
All you have to do is say Chimo and he's happy, right? Yeah.
Attaboy, big G, little Mo. Awesome.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was episode 156 of the Union 0430. Listen, we will never pretend to be experts. We're just a group of dudes that love hanging out and talking about bird hunting and apparently sticking our arms in holes and pulling out catfish too. To the millions of fans, thank you. Please subscribe, like, follow, tell your friends about us. Until next week, big love. Don't be douchebags to one another.
Hey,
what?
Listen next week because we might have a giveaway coming up.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah, we just got Dave and I got a text. We got a text.
That's my phone. Don't worry.
Okay. I like the sound though. Okay. Big love, everybody. Until next week.